Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's a great honor to have you here. And today we witness the most evil and heinous abuse of power in the history of our country. Very sad thing to watch. A corrupt sitting president had his top political opponent arrested on fake and fabricated charges of which he and numerous other presidents would be guilty. Right in the middle of a presidential election in which he is losing very badly.
Just here's how my brain works, okay? It's part of the reason that I have so much difficulty listening to President Trump when he talks, because he speaks in these flowery, exaggerated terms, and I'm a logician, rational, you know, kind of like evidence-based, words mean things. And so when he says, this is my reaction to anybody who makes hyperbolic claims, when he says this is the most evil abuse of power ever, I ask myself, well, what other abuses of power has America ever engaged in? You know, and I think of like Watergate, you know, I think of like the Japanese internment camps, you know, I think of, you know, slavery. And so I think most evil abuse of power ever, no bad, but, you know, not, that's just kind of how I react. Of course, yesterday, President Trump, after his arraignment, after his not guilty plea, after not getting a mugshot, by the way, I was wrong about that. Well, say it on mic. I mean, if you're going to gloat, take it.
I told you.
You did say.
I did. They let him use one from
the previous. Do you
know why? I would think out of respect.
Nope. Public figure. A public figure whose image is well known enough that it's not necessary to have a mugshot by which you would be able to identify him or put out if he flees, you know, to seek him. They can just upload a standard picture and that's adequate.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, I've never heard of that.
So if I get arrested, they could use one of my headshots.
They could use
from Cat Country?
a voice track from.
Excellent.
You know, there you go.
The roads are fine.
There you go. There's your official voice submission.
This is called election interference and yet another attempt to rig and steal a presidential election. More importantly, it's a political persecution like something straight out of a fascist or a communist nation.
Well, that's been the argument, right?
Charging a former president of the United States under the Espionage Act of 1917 wasn't meant for this. An act for a crime so heinous that only the death penalty would do, and threatening me with 400 years in prison for possessing my own presidential papers, which just about every other president has done.
There's people that have been prosecuted under this that didn't get the death penalty. It's not a death penalty only. It's not treason. No, it's not. It's not I'm sorry. Look, I voted for the man. I argued for the man. I would vote for him again against Biden. But he just makes bleep up all the time. I mean, he's not a reliable source of information. Okay? When he's talking, you don't know what's accurate and what's not. That's the problem. That's why you have to fact check him all the time. Because he says things that are just incorrect. Now, his argument, his legal argument, he's still maintaining the because I'm the president, I can declassify things basically at will, which makes it different from Biden and Hillary, which to some degree is true. Okay? They don't have that power, never had that power. It's just that he also doesn't have that same level of authority over anything just by breathing. And this has to do with official records of the United States government that he took and kept and would not return and deliberately worked to avoid returning, which is very different from having, for example, like diary entries that he created under the Presidential Records Act that he decides to keep as personal, and therefore the you know, the archivist wouldn't have the authority to tell him to give those back. And that's a really important distinction because, as far as I can tell, his main legal defense is to say that the Clinton sock drawer case is the big difference between, or is the big thing that he's going to hang his hat on.
Under the Presidential Records Act, which is civil, not criminal, I had every right to have these documents. The crucial legal precedent is laid out in the most important case ever on this subject, known as the Clinton socks case.
And it is a useful case to know because Bill Clinton did a whole bunch of interviews on audio tape with a historian, author kind of guy. And when he was no longer in the White House, while he was in the White House, and then when he was no longer in the White House, he retained those and he kept them in a sock drawer. And then a private entity came along and requested that those be reclassified as public records because they have to do with presidential subjects, and therefore they ought to be turned over to the National Archives under the Presidential Records Act. And a judge told that private organization, these are all key elements to this story, told that private organization no, that that's not how it works because they are indeed private records. And if Bill Clinton wanted to say they're private records, that's all there is to it. They're not official documents of the United States. And it wasn't a case where the government lost. The government was not involved in this. It was a private organization that had sued to have these reclassified and taken away from the sock drawer in Bill Clinton's house. So he's trying to say that, see, that proves it. It doesn't prove Jack. It doesn't prove anything. They're completely different cases. Completely different cases. Precisely because, and this is why you've got to listen to more than just, you know, President Trump and his allies. And if you listen to people like, I said, Bill Barr the other day explaining, there is a world of difference between official documents created by the United States government and its entities that are official business that a president then takes home with him. And again, everybody else has done this too, okay? The taking of the documents is not really the big issue. It's the refusal to give them back once they've been identified, once they've been found. That's really the big issue. It's kind of like, you know, we talk about a hit-and-run case. You know, if you hit somebody in your car, that's not really the big issue. I mean, it can be, depending on, you know, if you were drunk or something like that. But generally speaking, the incident is not the problem. It's when you flee the scene. That's when it's a problem. That's always a problem. Even if you did nothing wrong in the first case, that's the problem. So in this particular case, the distinction between private personal records maintained and created by the president, Bill Clinton's sock drawer tapes, versus official records of the United States government that include classified information, you know, top secret information, that are not personal records to be maintained by the president, well, that's the Trump case. They are fundamentally different. And so if his best legal argument is this, he's toast. Because a judge is going to laugh at this. This is, I mean, seriously, this is a terrible argument. And in fact, you know, it's kind of funny. He keeps making up this big thing about, you know, is the Espionage Act all that important and all that? Well, there were people that were sentenced under the Trump administration for violations of the Espionage Act. In 2019, Harold Thomas Martin, sentenced to 9 years in prison for willful retention of national defense information at his home in Maryland while working as a contractor for the NSA. We're not sure whether he leaked any of it. And that is, in terms of the significance of the violation of the law that I think Trump did do, okay, is it prosecutable? Should you prosecute under these circumstances with this particular person? No, those are all fair questions. Marco Rubio made a really good point the other day. He said, the problem is that there was no actual harm to national security traded off against actual harm to our system of justice based on the perception that certainly Trump is going to fuel that this is a political, motivated by the election, and that the Justice Department is unfair, that it is only prosecuting Trump and it's never prosecuting anybody else. No, those are all fair questions, but those are prudential questions. Those are not legal questions. Those are questions of judgment and discretion by a prosecutor, or in this case, special counsel. Those are not questions of whether a law was broken. And so if you look at, and you know, there was another one, 2020, Ahmad Hali, I don't know how to say his name, Yassan Sergedin, an elderly Raytheon systems engineer in possession in Massachusetts was sentenced to 18 months in prison for illegally retaining national defense information. Found guilty of possessing 5 documents labeled secret. 5 cases cited by the government in the indictment for comparison with Trump. The average sentence was just over 4 years. But those defendants all pled guilty, which reduced their penalty. So the Trump administration prosecuted people for exactly this kind of behavior. And people didn't get massive long sentences, but they did all plead guilty. And no, this is not like the Clinton sock drawer case. The kind of documents we're talking about are fundamentally different. But again, that doesn't settle the question of whether it's appropriate to have these charges, whether this is significant enough, whether there is political motivation and or the perception. Those are all fair questions. But Trump's rambling speech last night, in which he, as you would not be surprised to find out, personally attacked Jack Smith.
But we learned nothing about the Biden bribery scheme or special counsel Robert Hur's investigation. Robert Hur is doing the Biden investigation. He's a very respected, very nice person. Very nice person. Mine's not such a nice person. Mine's a deranged lunatic.
So Jack Smith is a deranged lunatic, according to Trump, because he comes after Trump and because of a previous investigation for the Virginia governor that was overturned on appeal. There's nothing that's surprising last night. What I was actually hoping for, this is what I was hoping for out of the speech last night. I was hoping I would hear President Trump give me something that I could clearly lay my, you know, philosophers, logicians, citizens, amateur jurists kind of hat on. And if I'm a juror in this trial, say, oh, yeah, no, that's it. He's not guilty. That's what I was hoping for, because that would make life so much easier. Because then you could say, no, genuinely, this is all just a bunch of nonsense. He didn't give me that. And in fact, what he thought he was providing for cover was such a bad argument that it made me think, oh, crap, he's guilty. You know, like when you give a bad argument, this is the old philosopher's rule. Like if somebody gives you a terrible argument as their best argument, it means they don't have a better one or even a good one to give to actually defend their side. Now, again, the man's got a right to a trial. He's got a right to a defense. We're going to have to wait and see. But I literally heard nothing in the speech last night that convinced me that he has right on his side, which is disappointing because I was hoping to get that out of the speech. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Do you have heart failure and often hear,
those stomach issues ruined your birthday?
You're too tired to play catch, Grandpa.
Sweetie, you haven't touched your tools since the carpal tunnel syndrome diagnosis.
If these seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, talk to your cardiologist. Ask about transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy, or ATTR-CM, a rare and underdiagnosed disease that gets worse over time. Learn more at connecttoyourheart.com. That's connecttoyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more today at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
This is Joe Cordell of Cordell & Cordell. dads. This Father's Day, Cordell and Cordell celebrates you the entire month of June. Join us every Friday for our live webinar series, Father's Fridays. There you'll receive much useful information from our panel of speakers. To register, go to cordellcordell.com/Father's Day.
For matters in Tennessee, visit cordellcordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
The best local resource that happens to be entertaining. News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
To make Candy happy is to play the Cult, and all I have to do to make everybody else happy is play Patton.
Well,
we get everybody.
Yeah, my dad was a Patton guy.
We get everybody. That's right.
Everybody's dad, mandatory Patton guy.
that's exactly
Patton.
Right. Phone, don't say it that way. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is warning about pressure on the supply chain after a major interstate collapse in Pennsylvania. Buttigieg was in Philadelphia yesterday to see the damage on I-95. Officials say that section of highway may be closed for several months. A trial date for the man accused of breaking into then-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's San Francisco home and attacking her 82-year-old husband with a hammer could be set today. Lawyers will be back in court to settle a date for David DePapp, who's pleaded not guilty on charges including attempted murder, burglary, and elder abuse. And the San Francisco Giants and St. Louis Cardinals are going to be playing in next year's Field of Dreams game. But apparently this year or next year's game will be played at the Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama, which is the oldest professional ballpark in America.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. I mean, you know, you assume that the game's going to be at that field in Iowa that they made in the corner. Whatever,
right. And that was what kind of threw me off. I had to look it up. I guess there's some type of a construction project maybe going on there.
I don't know. This is the first I've heard of it, but I love the idea of playing at the oldest field in the U.S. That's cool.
It's very neat. Yeah,
I kind of like that idea. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 528 News Radio 92.3. Nico Japanese Steakhouse is back open.
Yeah, Dana didn't want to go there for lunch yesterday.
Would you go there?
Yes, it's excellent.
Go ahead. You're going to say. I don't want to interrupt.
I was going to make a meth joke, but no, yeah. That's okay. You go ahead.
Well, no, like, so... And by the way, apparently they got a hold of... Remember Bob Johnson the other day told us they were looking for this one person to get to interview?
Right, they had a suspect that it was a one-time thing.
He didn't say employee. I don't think he said employee, but I think we all assumed it was an employee they were looking... And apparently after talking to him, they don't think he's a suspect anymore. So now it's a what happened? Nobody seems to know. So we're left kind of wondering, you know, what was the source of it all? But no, look, when 9/11 happened, okay... And then they reopened for travel, right? Planes were back in the air. And they were given massive discounts on air travel, right? To go to Europe, to go anywhere, because people were scared to fly. And my wife and I are like, well, now is the time. It's going to be safer than it is ever going to be right now, because they are going to be ferociously vigilant right now. And that's the same thing here. I mean, you think they're going to take any risk of any problems at this place at all? For a long time? No way. And I'm sure even if they weren't trying extra hard, that's a super fluke, weird, one-time thing, right?
So, yeah, I've never heard of that happening anywhere.
Ever.
You know, like
ever
Pensacola,
anywhere.
So I can't imagine
right.
It would happen
again. So, you know, I think people with a kind of a, I don't want to insult anybody, but, you know, just, it seems like that, well, no, fool me once, ha, ha, ha. No, literally, fool you once, that's it. That's all there is to it.
Okay, the comments have been pretty rich. Hey, you want to go to Nico's? And then after that, help me clean up my house, and then help me do homework, and then, just kidding.
And then help me go see a dentist. Okay.
Meth's not funny. Yeah. I know it's not funny. Yeah. And I hope they're...
No, and here's the other thing is, like...
They're great.
I love local businesses, and I've not... Have you eaten there before? I've not eaten there. Have you? Okay, I'm sure it's fantastic.
Dude, look who you're talking to.
No, I was literally just...
full of soda when you said that. Yes, absolutely.
We were just watching a, you know, the History of Food in America kind of show, and it was all about, like, Benihana, the original,
right,
you know,
right,
in America.
Sure.
And how they created a whole new style of eating that Americans had never heard of before, like is true of many foods that are now super popular. And I was literally thinking the other day, man, I kind of want to go eat at a, you know, Japanese, because they're the best. And so, you know, I may just go because
that's a great one. We should all go.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Anyway, so that's kind of where we are. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
Peyton Hillis talked about the beach rescue from earlier this year on ABC. More after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump admits having taken the classified records he's charged with having illegally, but says again after his arrest and not guilty plea, he did nothing wrong.
Charging a former president of the United States under the Espionage Act of 1917 wasn't meant for this.
Trump in Bedminster, New Jersey. He's also charged with obstructing government efforts to retrieve those documents. Today's his 77th birthday. A Japanese military cadet is accused of killing two members of his own unit at a shooting range and wounding another.
Officials say the 18-year-old trainee opened fire on his colleagues during a shooting exercise in Gifu Prefecture. A number of other people were there, but the details are still being investigated. Japan has strict gun control laws, and incidents like these among the general population are rare.
Fox's Jonathan Savage, no word on any possible motive for the shooting. The servicemen killed were 25 and 52 years old. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio, 92.3. Already a hot one. It's 82 degrees. Feels more like 92 right now. Former NFL running back Peyton Hillis revealing the dramatic details that went into a water rescue out on Pensacola Beach earlier this year in January. He told Michael Strahan on ABC's Good Morning America it was 100% a miracle that nobody died.
I think the scariest point to me was when I'm swimming to my son and I have to pass by him because my niece is in more danger.
You had to make a decision.
Yes, but I knew that I had to pass him up to get to Camille first because, you know, if I didn't, you know, there's no way she would have made it.
After rescuing his niece and putting her on a boogie board, he then went after his 9-year-old son. And after eventually reaching shore and walking to the beach, Hillis passed out. He spent the next few weeks at Baptist's ICU. Hillis says he's still on the long road to recovery. The District 1 Medical Examiner's Office in Escambia County are still at odds over the future of where the Domes office should be built. During last week's District 1 Medical Examiner Board meeting, Escambia Commissioner Robert Bender suggested they could establish a separate office to remain in place at Sacred Heart.
So how am I going to staff two sites when I don't have the docs?
But I'm...
I need a doctor to do the autopsy.
We've got 5 doctors in the budget.
Correct.
We have two doctors here. And I know, I understand that. Okay, so of course there would be some times where things don't work. But if you're fully staffed, you can't have one staff that's operating out of Sacred Heart each day of the week?
It is an absurd request.
That interaction with Dr. Deanna Oleski, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Walton counties have already agreed to the plan that calls for the new facility to be built in Santa Rosa County. The three counties appear to at least be considering the possibility of litigation if Escambia County doesn't agree. Popular convenience store chain Wawa's broken ground on its first store in Alabama. The store will be in Fairhope. A groundbreaking ceremony was held yesterday where the store also announced more locations coming to Alabama and presented a check to a local food pantry. Wawa also has several locations planned here in Pensacola. None of those have broken ground as of yet. A Pensacola woman facing charges after allegedly dousing a woman with lighter fluid and lighting her on fire. That happened last week on Holsbury Road. Escambia County deputies say they responded to a call where they found a woman with burns on her arms, neck, and back. Deputies say the woman had been set on fire after an argument with 24-year-old Darnique Jones. Jones was arrested earlier this week on aggravated battery charges. She's being held on $252,000 bond. It is 534, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Hot and humid day today with a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. Rain chance continues for Thursday, 60% chance of rain with a high near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's 82 right now in Pensacola, 82 in Gulf Breeze, 82 in Milton. Our next news at six. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
What is the Drip Parlor? Drip Parlor is an intravenous vitamin and hydration wellness facility that has taken traditional medical treatments and given them a modern twist. Find out how you could balance your body with fluids and electrolytes that can help your daily life. Tune in this Friday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel to find so much more about the Drip Parlor. That's this Friday at 9:30 right here on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
We're committed to providing you with the latest and most accurate information during hurricane season. So tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest updates and stay safe.
Good morning, 537 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Just a heads up that later on today, they've got us in the 3 out of 5 danger zone for bad weather. So it's, you know, what I always like to tell people, because I guess I'm just, you know, mean. But what I always like to remind people is that, you know, the 2 out of 5 was the rating that we got for both of the tornadoes that we got, the big tornadoes that we got in this area several years ago, 2016. So people tend to think like a 1 is no big deal, a 2 is no big deal, and a 2 can be bad. So we're in the 3 out of 5. We're not red on the map, but we are orange.
When is this?
Later today. Later tonight, I believe. I wasn't paying a lot of attention to the timestamp on it exactly, but...
Is this why you guys took me out of news? Really? Oh, my God. Thanks for making it worse, Good.
There you go. So just kind of FYI, right? Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to have you. The big story, of course, in the last day was this home invasion on Majors Road. If people don't know where that is... if they know where Hancock is by Brown Barge Middle School, then you go across the tracks to the west on the south side of Hancock there before you get to Old Palafox, right in that vicinity. So kind of an old part of that part of town, not a particularly affluent part of town. If you've seen the pictures of this home, it's obviously not a very well-to-do home. But what happened here?
You got pictures. You have 5 hoodlums. Decide they're going to go to that location. First, they went to the house behind it. There's a small... dwelling behind on the same property. They actually get in that home and they ask the man there if they're asking for money. They're demanding, where's the money? Where's the money?
And this is late at night, right?
Money. Yeah, early in the morning.
Okay.
Yes. I think about 2:30 in the morning. And then they actually hit him with a weapon, causing him harm, not in life-threatening injuries. And they leave that that dwelling and they go to the front trailer. You can see in the pictures that we've put out They do have hoods on, but I think you can see them. We are pretty confident that someone knows who these hoodlums are. They're carrying guns, and they fire a couple times. One goes through the door and actually hits the dog. The dog's gonna be okay, but it hits the dog. How brazen are these idiots to just come around and just demand entry and try to kick the door in first, and then they fire into the door. They're there for a reason. They think that there's something in this home, either the one behind it or the one, you know, the trailer in the front. So we're asking people that in the neighborhood, they're asking people to look at these pictures. You're going to know who they are. They're easily identifiable to me, because if you know one, you probably know them all.
Right.
You know, these guys are acquaintances. These thieves are running together, and you can see the guns in their hand. You know, and that people have called me up and talked to me and said, if they come to my house, don't worry about it. And honestly, I feel the same way. Don't come to my house like this. That's not going well for you.
Do we have any guess on ages?
Well, they look to be teens. They look to be all black males, and all. I would say that they're probably from 16 to 19 years old.
Okay.
You know, school's out. I don't know if they're school kids or not, but we'll have the answers. I haven't talked to my investigators this morning, but they are on it. Obviously, we take these things very serious, and we hope that the community takes these things very serious. These people need to be in jail, and if they are juveniles, I hope that the judges keep them in jail until they end up going to prison.
Now, I know that none of this would – I mean, there's certainly no justification for any of this, but we always kind of wonder, well, is there any reason to believe that the homeowner – was engaged in behavior that would invite this? Because you and I talk a lot that there's, you know, there's domestic violence, there's unprovoked criminal activity, and then there's criminal activity dealing with other criminals. You know, people go to rob drug houses, people go to settle beefs, all this kind of stuff. Based on what I saw in the interview with the guy, I mean, I wouldn't think anything like that is going on. But you tell me, is there any reason to think that anything like that was happening in this home or on this property that would sort of explain this?
Well, and again, our investigators are looking into all parts of it. I think that the victim in the first one, the 70-year-old man, was like they were looking for something. They felt like something was there, money was there. And what we normally look at is why there? Why did they go to this location?
Right.
You know what? It doesn't seem random to me. Now, again, could it be a mistaken location? They went there twice. They were pretty serious about it. I find it highly coincidental if they weren't looking for something specific. And again, it may just be money. Maybe there is a beef of some sort, as you mentioned.
I thought the allegation he had made was he thinks that somebody hired them to do this or something like that. You know, so I don't know what to make of all that. But it didn't seem to me like they're just randomly driving down Hancock and decide, well, this is the place that we want to go.
This
assault.
Particular location. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No. I mean, there were cars. You can see there's a bunch of cars parked out front. And I believe the victim does some car work. But they're not trying to steal cars.
Right.
They're trying to get inside. And again, I guess if you look at it, they did contact the first gentleman in the house behind theirs, and they were asking for money. They don't just go to random houses asking for money. There's something to that. And our investigators aren't naive. They're going to look into all of that.
Right.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong going on. I'm just telling you from my experience. You don't just, like you said, at 2:30 in the morning, you don't randomly just say, hey, this is the house. You know, that's not how it works.
So for people that, you know, they see something like this, and it's pretty scary to imagine because, of course, what you naturally think is, well, that could have been my house. For all I know, you know, could have been my house. The basic things that you recommend, I assume, are, you know, be armed, pay attention, have security cameras, don't open the door for people that you don't know, right? All this stuff.
Well, and you know, just want to make sure people are clear. We're on this. Our investigators have been on this since it happened. And again, we don't know every young man in Escambia County, but we do know. I am certain that someone recognized. There's one of them didn't even wear a mask. And again, once you know the one, then you're going to know the others that you're hanging around with. So we're obviously doing our crime scene with fingerprints and that sort of thing, and you know, we're doing all the investigation that we possibly can, you know, including the going to, you know, toward their neighbors and see if there's some more video that we might be able to get where they get into or out of a car. And again, we're going to do all that stuff. I'm pretty confident we'll have them identified unless they're out of town. They don't look to be out of town. They're probably local kids. And here's the thing. This isn't their first one. You don't take a gun. You don't try to kick a door, and you don't shoot into a door as your first, foray into criminal activity.
Right.
But here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna find them. We're gonna arrest them, and I hope they go to jail for decades.
We're at a roundtable yesterday in Panama City where Jim Patronis was there, Senator Scott was there, talking with other law enforcement about these kinds of things, right?
Yeah, we had 18 law enforcement agencies. They traveled from Central Florida all the way, obviously, from the Panhandle, and then we met at Bay County Sheriff's Office. Senator Scott was really just wanting a little roundtable to ask how he can help, how the federal government can help. And then Jimmy Patronis was there just discussing about the financial state of the state of Florida, because there were some small counties, some rural counties that operate almost solely on grants. And so they were talking a lot about grant work. But the reason I bring it up is because Leon County was discussing, they had four shootings over the weekend. While we had this, we didn't have the four shootings over the weekend. And a lot of them are asking what we're doing, because a lot of stuff that we're doing is working, quite honestly. We do have, I will tell you that our violent crime and our nonviolent crime is down for like the third, fourth year in a row. But you still have people like this. We still have criminals that act like they don't have to obey the law. And so once we can get these individuals off the streets, once we can get them in prison, then Escambia County will be a much safer place. And we need to all work together. Again, we don't see everybody. We don't know everyone. But someone in the community knows these people. And I'd be very disappointed if someone doesn't call Crime Stoppers or someone doesn't call us and say, you know what, I can't allow our neighborhoods. I can't allow these kids to be just terrorized. Because if they're going to do it to this neighborhood, they're going to do it to their own neighborhood.
Right.
They've been doing it probably for years. And our number one priority is to get these criminals off the street.
You know, you tell me if I've got this analysis wrong, but I remember it's a bit of a comparison, but, when 9/11 happened, we learned that, terrorism doesn't come except where there's a place where they learn to be terrorists, right? Where they learn and are tolerated, Afghanistan, obviously. And it seems to me like it's kind of a similar problem where you don't have gangs like this, and I don't mean that in the official legal sense of a gang, but, five people coordinated attack with guns, that's a gang. That doesn't happen unless they have a safe haven of some kind, people who know them and put up with this and allow this and could report them and don't. And so until that problem goes away, you're going to have this kind of bad behavior. And so getting those people to cooperate, like you say, that's at the heart of solving these problems.
And we talk about that even at our roundtable. I gave the stats. I said, this is what's having, if we're worried about shootings, let's find out why we're having shootings. We're having shootings because of money. We're having shootings because of guns and drugs. And we're having shootings because of domestic violence. So let's target those things. Let's not say, oh my gosh, the whole world is crumbling, because that's not taking place. But we're allowing, as you alluded to, allowing these kids like this to run. And you know what? The worst thing they could have wanted, as if I cared about what they want, the worst thing they want is their pictures to be posted all over our Facebook page and all over the media and us talking about it. Because now the people that haven't seen it can go to our Facebook page, hopefully, and take a look at it.
Right.
And these school kids are on Facebook. They
oh,
know
right,
who
right,
this
right.
is. And that's I would be.
Somebody's going to learn there's Crime Stoppers money.
there's money. And,
right.
and really the right thing to do. You look at it and say, that's my friend, or I know that person, but that person needs to go to jail.
We're just about out of time. We always seem to run out of time too quickly, but I did want to give a moment to say, how is the deputy doing that was injured in the escort
right.
the other day?
He's doing okay. He has broken ankle, and by broken I mean it's broken, and so he's going to need surgery, but he's going to be fine. He's in high spirits. He understands that these things happen, and I spoke to him at the hospital, him and his wife, and he understands that. That things like this do happen, but he's going to be back to work as soon as he can, and we certainly appreciate the outpouring of support from everyone, really, because again, we talk about this, we're after these hoodlums, because we have deputies, men and women at the sheriff's office that are willing to stop these people. I mean, they're going to find them, and they're going to go and they're going to seek them out, and if they try to run, they're going to stop them. They're going to ram the car. We're going to do what we can to stop them and get them and put them behind the bars.
And he was, by the way, in case people aren't familiar, he was injured on a motorcycle when he was accompanying a bus, as escorts often do, just, on 9 Mile, if I remember correctly,
right.
While they were clearing an intersection. Also, a little bit of a good news note, you just had your first training class for in-house training for law enforcement officers. That's just kicked off, right?
Yeah, we talked a lot about our own training academy. that allows us the flexibility to start one when we need it. We have 21 members of our very first class. There's a photograph of our on our Facebook page of the 21 with a couple of us, and the reason we're doing it is because it has started. You know, we talked about it. Gunnick's going to start. We talked about how great it's going to be, how much time it's going to save. But now it's started. They're in week one, and I harken back to my own days in my first week in rookie school. I mean, now I'm learning how to handcuff somebody.
Yeah,
We have to run a little bit. We have to, we have to learn a lot. We have tests all the time, and you have to learn the rules. You have to learn about where everything is in the facility. So we're obviously very proud of the staff. I'm super proud of what they've accomplished in such a short time to have our own academy. And again,
it's
if
fantastic.
You want to see a good looking group of men and women that want to serve their community, go up on our Facebook page and take a look at those 21. Just you can see the sense of pride in their eyes.
And nobody's putting shoe polish on the bullhorn though, right? Like
No. It's not that kind of police academy.
Is there a tackleberry?
Is there a tackleberry?
Last thing. We always like to end with a safety tip. Do you have a safety tip for folks this week?
Yeah, I think a safety tip kind of related to what we were seeing and what we're talking about. And this is for parents who want to know if their children are doing the wrong thing. If your children are showing up with different cars every day, if there's a car that's parked out there that you don't know where it came from, if you're hanging around with people that show up with different cars, those cars are stolen and they're up to no good. And if you don't want your children to escalate into what we're seeing on Facebook, then you need to have that conversation with them, or maybe you have that conversation with us, because almost every shooting, in fact, I'll say every shooting that we see is done by the use of a stolen automobile, a stolen car. And they're hiding these cars somewhere. They're stealing cars. They're going through and looking for keys, and some people, strangely enough, leave keys and guns in their car, and they take those cars, and then they use those cars if they're going to do some sort of criminal endeavor. And so my tip of the week is that if you're a parent and you wonder if your child is on the wrong path, if they have different cars in their driveway, if they have different cars, if people are pulling up with them, and you don't know who they are, they're on a path. You need to be leery about that.
That's a great awareness tip. Sheriff Chip Simmons, the Scambia County Sheriff, as always, sir. Thank you for the time. Thanks for the information, and thanks for keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
It's 551 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you're thinking about replacing your car, because maybe you don't love it as much as you should, because you should like your car quite a bit, Frontier Motors. Just make sure you include them on your list. In fact, they're a great place to start. 300 different cars, trucks, sedans, vans, all over the lot there, and lots of different things you can test drive. For me, what differentiates is like a lot of things that differentiate them from other used car dealers. But, having bought a fair number of cars in my life, the one thing that surprised me the most was after I had bought the car. Because typically, when they get you to sign and then you take the car, that's it. That's the end of the relationship, right? Well, at Frontier, they called me 6 months after I bought the Honda Odyssey. And, just our sales guy wanted to know, hey, everything okay? And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. It seemed weird to me that he was calling me, but okay, yeah, Calvin, I remember you, And then he's like, okay, we're good. 6 months later, so a year after we bought the car, he calls me again. He says, is anything wrong with the car? And I'm like, well, one of the keys, the physical key doesn't work. I mean, we never use it because we use the fob, but, if you ever had to get in the car with the physical key, it wouldn't work. He's like, well, bring it in. We'll replace it. And, I didn't say it out loud, but what I was thinking was, well, sure, I bet you would for $150. I know I can buy a key. But I just said, well, how much is it? And he's like, oh, it's on us. You bought a car expecting to get two keys. You get two keys. Oh, okay. So I brought it in. About 8-10 minutes later, I had a key. Drove home. That was it. A year after we bought the vehicle, they followed up with me to make sure I was super happy. You think I'm not going to go back there? Like, that's the kind of place you want to deal with. That they're going to take care of you even after the sale, and because they want you to be a lifelong customer, which I will be for sure. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hey, have you heard about the new Charter Academy at Pensacola State College?
No, what's so special about it?
Well, you can earn your high school diploma, transferable college credits, and an associate's degree all at the same time. and it's completely free. But hurry, because they're enrolling 11th and 12th graders now for August classes.
Wow, how do I get enrolled? Hi, I'm Karen McCabe, the principal at the Charter Academy. Give me a call, 484-2366, and visit us on the website, charteracademy.pensacolastate.edu.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that is Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry. Gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. They're on Creighton Road, right across from Tom Thumb. Emerald Coast Coins.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Text alerts are a great way to stay informed and connected. They're quick, easy, and convenient.
So what are you waiting for?
Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Holy work is what you are here for.
Good morning, 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3, informative local police academy. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
I love police academy, I just have to say.
I was going to, hey, indulge me for a second, because I was trying to decide between that one and...
What the hell are you doing here?
I want to be a police officer.
What? I can't hear you.
There are
I
want to
be a police officer.
So many good moments in that movie. It's crazy.
And also super inappropriate for a kid like me to watch now that I've watched it as an adult.
Yes.
Oh, I never thought of that. Yeah, that is pretty,
There are some parts of that movie that are definitely earning it the R rating.
I'm pretty sure that was the first movie with explicit content in it that I ever watched as a kid.
Oh, that's funny. What? Since we're delaying the news for a second, Candy, what was your first... This might be our frivolous topic for the day, by the way. What was your first that you can remember?
Airplane.
Oh, yeah. I got Stripes.
Oh, my God. Stripes. The pancake tree.
With, at my grandparents' house, when I was staying there in Fort Myers, and they actually called my mom and said, is it okay for him to watch this? And she's like, sure, he's fine.
Nice.
And nothing better than watching an R-rated movie with naked people with your grandparents when you're like 9.
Not awkward at all.
No, super normal. All right, David, tell them about the news.
Several buildings have been destroyed after a huge fire broke out in New Jersey overnight. Officials say that started at an abandoned warehouse and then spread to several more homes and other buildings. Testimony resuming today in the Capitol murder trial of accused Tree of Life synagogue shooter Robert Bowers. Bowers charged with the murders of 11 people in that shooting. And Fort Polk in Louisiana, the latest Army post to be renamed. The fort has been named now for Black War hero William Henry Johnson. Sergeant Johnson was a North Carolina native, later moved to New York, and posthumously received the Medal of Honor for his actions in France during World War I. The name change, of course, the latest in the military's efforts to rename bases honoring Confederate leaders.
You know, I thought it was very interesting. David, thanks so much for the update. You know, we talk obviously about Fort Liberty, formerly Fort Bragg. Don't say Fort Bragg. Is the one that is now named for a concept. It's like the only one they didn't rename for an actual person who earned a award, which was this weird infight between the special operations community and the airborne community. It's just kind of it was super weird how they came to all that, apparently. But now you've got Republican candidates, both Ron DeSantis and Mike Pence, are campaigning on a promise to undo the name change at Fort Bragg to Fort Liberty, to name it back to Fort Bragg. What I think is weird is, I don't agree with the name change. I wouldn't have changed the name. I think that community has such a long-lasting example. I mean, I made a Transgressors segment out of that. Like, you know, are they going to have to take it out? All the movie references are in. But at the same time, okay, at the same time, Bragg as a name is like one of the worst names ever because of who he was. Like, he was an incompetent leader. He was a terrible example. He was not an emulate this guy kind of name. So, you know, a couple of years from now, if one of them gets to be president, they might undo the name. But you can't really stand up for Bragg except as the fact that it's his.
Your home for Brian Kilmeade. Weekdays 11 to 1 is News Radio 92.3.